Welcome back. It is the Monsters of the Midday on a Friday. I made a nappy last segment on one of the things that I said. I want to apologize to Cowboy fans out there. I misread the article I was reading on Malik Collins. Fear not. David Irving was suspended last year, not this year yet. So for now, the Cowboys have yet to have a suspension. So I actually think that's a standing ovation at this point. Missile, if you could, can we give it up to the Cowboys? For here we are, almost in the middle of May, and they have yet to have a player suspended. Things are looking up, and we welcome to the show Mr. Royce Young of ESPN. Royce, I have to tell you, fantastic get on the Nick Collison piece. That was an excellent read, man. Well done.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was more Nick than it was me, but and I feel like I've told everybody this that's asked about it, that a lot of times with these type of as-told-to essays, that people make a very strong assumption that it was completely ghostwritten and that I did everything and Nick just said yes. But Nick was very involved in it, and I give him a ton of credit because he worked hard on it, and he wanted his voice to come through. He wanted to be very, very authentic with it, which I think that he was. I don't think it was like a bunch of PR fluff that he was just trying to appease everybody and say all the right things and be really inspirational. I think he wanted to be real and authentic, and I just commend Nick for doing a great job with it.
What? Tell me about what he meant to the team. I mean, I know that people think that he meant all this and was such a stabilizing presence in the locker room, but you covered it, so tell us exactly what his role has been with the Thunder the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when it comes to, like, you know, the veteran leadership, quote-unquote, Mark, that a lot of people can overrate what that means, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of times that you view these locker room guys in a way that you, like, as if they're really truly counting in terms of wins and losses. And let's be real, that doesn't necessarily happen. But I think when it comes to somebody like Nick Collison, like, look, Nick Collison, like, some rah-rah speech that he was going to give in the locker room, that wasn't necessarily going to, like, reflect itself on the scoreboard. What I think Nick Collison stood for, and really this goes back to when the organization came to Oklahoma City and all the way through, was he really was a culture setter. And when you talk about Thunder culture, and people, I think, sometimes can kind of make fun of that and what culture means, but if you talk to other executives around the league, they want what the Thunder have. They want the culture. You know, that's what new regimes come in, and they point to teams like San Antonio and Miami and Oklahoma City and Utah now, and they point and they say, we want that. We want what those teams have. We want to have that kind of backbone and core standard and philosophy in our program. How do we do that? And guys like Nick Collison is how you do that. And, you know, for him to show up and display the kind of professionalism and class, yeah, I don't think it necessarily, you know, it didn't always reflect itself on the court. But, you know, look at young players. I think somebody like Steven Adams is a great example of it. And it's not like that Nick Collison is, like, coaching him up or anything, but just the little things that Nick Collison would do, which is, you know, I think this is something that I told somebody this morning, that people don't realize how often players are late for practice, late for shoot-around, don't show up to practice, don't show up to shoot-around. Happens a lot in the NBA. Nick Collison, I don't know that he ever was late or missed practice. And that type of stuff trickles down to the young players that see, this guy's been in the NBA for 12, 13, 14 years, and he still shows up to practice. He runs stairs after it. He shoots his free throws. He plays hard on 3-and-3 pickup games. You know, if I want to make it in this league and I want to have a long career, I got to do that too. So I guess all of that to say is that Nick Collison, a lot of it was, is just he kind of set the standard for a lot of other players that came through.
I think that's well said. He set the standard, professional, classy, and he did all the little things, right? He'll step in front of you, take a charge, fundamentally sound. I mean, a guy that you just love to have in your locker room. I thought it was very cool. Seemed like he was very honest in this piece, Royce. And it kind of felt to me like as he reflects and looks back, he definitely has that feeling of, man, what could have been but never was with that nucleus and that group they had for a few years.
Yeah, in some ways, Dusty, it was kind of while it was saying goodbye to Nick Collison, it was kind of an interesting retrospective over the last decade of professional basketball in Oklahoma City, right? I mean, it kind of, like, Nick Collison almost closes a chapter, I feel like, in this era of Thunder basketball with, you know, when he came to the team, it was Westbrook, Durant, and then they drafted James Harden, Serge Ibaka came in, and, you know, Nick kind of takes you through that, and I think that it kind of reminds you I think there's a lot of what if involved in that. It's like, you know, wanting to have more time together. And I think it also kind of reminds you of how many great players have played in Oklahoma City. And while, you know, I think you wish that they could have stayed, you wish that everybody could have been here and that, you know, it could have lasted for a lot longer, it also kind of illustrates that despite all the great players coming and going, I mean, the Thunder have been really successful over a 10-year span, which is kind of unusual in the NBA. So, you know, I think that, you know, it makes you kind of lament the fact that they didn't ever raise a banner. They didn't ever win a championship. And I think Nick probably regrets that himself when you think about the 2012 Thunder and how long it seemed like that window of opportunity was going to exist with Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. But, you know, at the same time, it just kind of makes you reflect on it and say, like, there are a lot of great players that have come and played professional basketball in Oklahoma City. And you didn't even mention Paul George, Victor Oladipo, Carmelo Anthony in the thing, you know?
Do you think he'll want to stay around maybe in a media role or a front office role for the team?
Could be a great color analyst.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what he's. I don't know what his next steps are. And, you know, in talking to Nick, I don't think he's even really thought about it all that much. I think that he's quite interested in getting a little bit away from the game of basketball and and spending some time with his 12-year-old daughter, Emma, and, you know, and you know, spending time with his girlfriend and kind of getting back to his family. You know, Nick Collison is going to have a place in basketball wherever he wants it. And whether that's coaching, I don't know if he'd be interested in that. You know, it's interesting to me. I think Luke Walton is the same age as Nick Collison. You know, so, like, when you talk about, you know, potential coaching ability, like, Nick Collison, I think, would make a great head coach. I don't know if that's something he's truly interested in, but, you know, nobody knows the game quite like he does. But I think the Thunder have, you know, basically an open position reserved for Nick Collison in whatever aspect that he might want, whether it was in the front office. They would create some fancy job title, I'm sure, and slap it on him at any moment. But, you know, like you said, Mark, I think that, you know, broadcasting could be something that he's interested in, too. I think he'd be great at it, especially if he really dug in and felt comfortable, because Nick is quite a funny guy.
He's not going to go pro in Fortnite, right? I mean, he still wants to stay out of the game.
I don't think so. I think he was the one guy I was told that does not play Fortnite on the team. So Nick was not some video gamer.
Royce, you're on the Rockets in the Western.
I like it, Royce. That a boy. Come on, over to my side.
Royce.
I like it. Yeah.
Are you picking the Rockets too, Dusty?
You're smarter than that.
Rockets in seven, Royce. Let's go.
Tell me how's this going to happen? How do you attack Golden State?
Well, that's a good question. And here's the reason I went Rockets, Mark, is, you know, it's not like I feel good. I picked the Warriors in every single series over the last 3 years, basically. And part of it is it's just kind of fatigue and boredom. It's like, man, I just want to pick somebody else. I kind of want somebody else to win in some ways. But I do think the Rockets have built something that can kind of stand up to what Golden State does. I think with all the wing depth that they have toughness, they have players, they can defend both sides of the floor. I think if there's a team that can kind of, you know, like we talked about the other day, what Golden State hits you with is these avalanches of momentum, and I think the Rockets are kind of built to withstand it. Those 3 or 4 minute runs where it feels like I just hit you 14-2 and you can't recover from it, the Rockets can recover. So I think that they can slow the game down. You know, that's one of the things that people don't realize about the Houston Rockets is everybody thinks of them as this up-and-down team, Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less. The Rockets were in the bottom half of the league in pace. They want to kind of grind you out. They want to iso you. They want to slow the game down, and they want to play really, really good defense. And to me, that's a little bit of a formula to beat the Warriors, is that you can control tempo, control pace, and let guys like James Harden and Chris Paul generate you pretty good offense. And again, the Rockets play good defense, so I think that that's kind of, they've got a team built that I think can stand up to, and I think home court's going to matter.
I disagree with that. I think, because remember last year we were talking about how Houston didn't have, they're selling dollar beers and dollar hot dogs to try to get people in the stands for the Thunder game. I just don't
think that's true. That, I mean, their home crowd stinks. There's no doubt about it. I was down there for those series. The lower bowl was, you know, only about 70% full for all those games. So it's not like they have a great home environment. But
they're all stuck outside the arena in traffic. They couldn't get in. Well, I think these series are going to be really fun to watch. I think the other series won't be as aesthetically pleasing.
How many games can the Rockets, Mark? How many games can they
set the over-under on this series at six?
And he's taking the under.
I would take I would take the under and feel good about pushing.
He thinks it's going to be five.
If it goes seven, Houston's going to have a chance, a much better chance.
Yeah. I think game one.
If it comes down to one shot on Houston's home floor, then I'll agree with Royce there. I think the home court could matter.
I've got Houston in seven, and I've got Cavs in six. I think that they could make it five, but the safe play is six.
Yeah, that's my same pick for that series. I think I've got Cavs in six. And you know, again, it's a lot of people, you know, maybe a little bit more dismissive of the Celtics than we ought to be, but I think that we've all been taught a valuable lesson that until further notified, you don't pick against LeBron James. That's just what you don't do. So,
I've resisted the temptation to be sucked in and drawn into the narrative today of the LeBron Michael Jordan story. We don't have those kind of shows that we have to talk about it, where one side takes one and the other. You're not there yet, are you either?
No, I've taken LeBron over MJ.
Yes, right. Okay.
No, I mean, look, I think it's at some point this is when LeBron decides to retire. It's a conversation worth having, and I think you can lay it all out and look at one versus the other. And, you know, there's certain things that LeBron has on Jordan that I think that you could say that you could make a strong case for LeBron. You know, I think LeBron has played in a much more competitive NBA than Michael Jordan has. So I think that's one aspect of it that you kind of have to consider. But, you know, there's no doubt about it. MJ was 6-0 in finals, and that counts. And LeBron doesn't have that kind of record. So, you know, there's going to be there's bullet points for both. But, look, I grew up on MJ. I mean, like, you know, I was 10, 12, 13 years old when MJ was at the peak of his power. So there's no chance that I'm going to pick against MJ because there's been no professional athlete that's resonated with me quite like Michael Jordan. So even as great as LeBron is, I'm an MJ guy for life.
Hey, what'd you think about Dwayne Casey being fired in Toronto? Fair or foul?
I think it's completely foul. I think it's absolutely ridiculous and absurd. But I will say this. I don't know the interior dynamics. I don't know what was necessarily going on. I don't know if there was a disconnect between the front office and Dwayne Casey, and there may have been. And I think this is important to note. Dwayne Casey was going into the last year of his contract, and a lot of times with coaches, when they go into that last year, it's basically either extend me or fire me because they want that security versus not having to coach out the season and not know what's going to happen. And that might have been what happened, but I just think if the Raptors overreacted to the point of they got swept, so we're firing you, I think that's completely ridiculous because Dwayne Casey deserved better than that.
Very good, Royce. Well, you have a great weekend. Also, we had a discussion. There is a sexual expert out there that is claiming that we parents should ask our children permission before changing their nappies, which is also here in the States, it's a dirty diaper. Will you adhere to that type of philosophy, or are you just going to
change
the diaper regardless?
I'm supposed to ask my 18-month-old or something, like, hey, man, can I change your diaper now? No.
That's correct. And you need to get permission before doing so. Are you going to adhere to that?
Well, I'm gonna
is that a world that is that a world that Royce Young doesn't want to live in?
No, make mommy do it. That's what I'm going to start hoping for.
That was my philosophy. I changed one.
So maybe I should. Maybe it's
Mark's not a diaper changer. No. Very good, Royce. Have a great weekend.
Right.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. See ya.
All right. We're here at Lay Besides today. You still have time to come in and get a gift for your mom here that she would love. The gift of pampering and rejuvenation at Lay Besides in the Brookhaven Village. 321-FACE, 321-3223. If you purchase a $100 gift card, you're going to receive a free complimentary greeting card, which you got to have the greeting card. If you don't have the greeting card, you haven't done it right. So we're here at Lay Besides. Take advantage of these great deals before Mother's Day. We'll wrap it up next. Stay tuned.